AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank you all so much for tuning in, guys. We got a pretty good episode for you today, one that gave me a little bit of goosebumps when I first saw it.
Yep.
But thank you all so much for tuning in, guys. Hope you enjoyed last week's episode. And today, we are talking about Appalachian cryptids. I'm going to say Appalachian because that's how they pronounce it there. I know Appalachian or Appalachian.
Appalachian.
Yeah.
Certain like Southerners say Appalachian.
Yeah. But was going through my feed on Instagram, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people seen it already. Pretty much like North Carolina man has something jump in the back of his truck back in, September, or back in 2023, right?
August 2021.
And I thought it was pretty interesting. Took me down a hole of Appalachian cryptids, folklore, spirits, stuff like that. And I was like, dude, we should talk about this because, of course, it was like 2 in the morning and I'm like going through all this stuff. But I was like, dude, this is interesting. But yeah, we decided to talk about just more than just this little story. But to get into the story, a North Carolina man driving alone at night says he experienced a terrifying and unexplained encounter on the highway, one that ended with an unidentified creature leaping onto the back of his truck, leaving scratches and, of course, leaving people like speculative, like, did it really happen? But there was a 911 call.
Yeah.
So the driver identified only as T. Placed a 911 call on August 31st, 2021 at 11:03 p.m., saying he saw a bleeding man in a Civil War uniform along Route 210 near the Black River. Now, there is like a little battleground, like a historical battleground there. So that makes sense, you know?
Not at 11:03 at night, but okay.
Maybe there was like a late night reenactment going.
Oh, that's very possible.
believing he had... witnessed an injured person, T slowed down to look for a safe place to stop. That's when he heard a loud thud in the bed of his pickup truck. Terrified, T began shouting, "That's not human, that's not human," into the phone. Words he didn't even remember saying until he later heard the call recording at the time. He had no weapon with him, only a wood-splitting axe in the truck. Now, he describes the creature, whatever was in the bed of his truck, flipped over his vehicle and rolled onto the road. So he stopped abruptly, and it flipped over and rolled onto the road. He says, quote, "All I see is this super scrawny, long body just fly over my truck in a ball, rolling. T recalled, as I swerved, I saw it stand up. It was easily 7 feet tall." That's pretty tall, man. "Standing taller than his truck." I want to know what truck he was driving, you know?
It doesn't matter. I don't care what. You're driving a lower Toyota Tacoma, and it's hovering over it. Like
That's true. Just... Well, because, like, okay, with my truck, it's a Ram. It's a two-door Ram. it, you know, it's, I think it goes like a little bit above my head, not like a foot.
You'd have to be like 6'4" to like literally get over the top of your truck.
Yeah.
So like if it was literally like
7 foot, then yeah. it was probably pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty big, man. Yeah, because he's, you know, was standing taller than his truck. The figure had unnaturally long arms and legs, almost like a stretched out human. After a few seconds, it bolted into the woods. That's crazy. Okay.
It's never a good thing. No. Bolt into the woods.
When officers later inspected the truck, they reportedly confirmed visible scratches on the vehicle's top, though they could not identify what caused them. The social media reaction, because this is how kind of it picked up, like, started picking up speed now. The chilling account spread online after being featured in a paranormal discussion. Viewers weighed in with their own theories. People saying, you know, everybody, you know, was not real who, you know, walks amongst us. You know, people saying it was, you know, Wendigos.
Shapeshifter, skinwalker.
But, you know, I mean, could be anything, especially in the Appalachian area. Many locals noted that the region has a history of ghost sightings and unexplained encounters, especially near old battlefields like the one T drove past that night. The story's circulation raised questions. Rusty Martin Sr., host of the Carolina, another program who does like case files and stuff like that, paranormal, that it shook him deeply. Like it shook T pretty bad. It's like he was pretty scared, like to not even come out with this. Like he didn't even want to talk about it. He just wanted to like blow past it and that was it. But they urged him, like, dude, this is something, man. Like that, this like also.
Well, they had to keep if you read like the accounts, they had to keep like prodding him to get interviews.
Yeah, well,
like he kept turning everyone down.
When you go through something that horrific, you know, you see something you can't explain, something like that. You don't want to relive it. You don't want to be like, oh yeah, like here's what happened. But you know,
and if it is, you know, like, you know, devil's advocate, no pun intended, even if it is like demonic or evil in nature, if you speak on it, you know, you could bring it back in.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that, you know, had part with him, yeah, you know, recanting his whole story.
Yeah, he it was a pretty traumatic experience for him, for not wanting to do these interviews, not even talk about it, till finally, you know, he did do it, and now it's like everywhere now that I've seen it. But what could it have been? I know Bigfoot is huge up there. It's a big thing. I mean, Bigfoot's huge anywhere there's a forest, you know, but I don't know, man. It's a weird thing, and it caught my attention because I was like, dude, they're such a weird story because it's such a quick encounter. You know, you see somebody on the side of the road bleeding, you stop to see if they're okay, something jumps to the back of your truck, then you see like it's this stretched out humanoid figure.
That's a weird part too, because a lot of these stories that are like this or similar to this that I've heard coming up, most of the time when it like appears on the side of the road, you like look back and it's not there, and then you turn to your passenger seat and lo and behold, it's in the truck with you. This is like, man, this thing like was, you know, an actual physical being. It like climbed in the back of the truck.
Yeah,
like it did something like that you don't hear in a lot of these like ghost tales or cryptid tales, is that it like literally wasn't flying alongside or, you know, Mothman flying over the truck. It literally got in the bed of the pickup truck and was like hanging on. Yeah.
Or it wasn't like a quick, you know, oh, what was that? Like you see with most people, like, you know, they slowed down because they saw somebody crossing the road. And when they, you know, went to go see what it was, there was nothing there, like a ghost or whatever. This was like, yeah, it interacted with him.
Yeah.
And dude, I don't know. I would feel. I'd probably be just as scared as him. Like, dude, what is this thing? You know, who cares about the guy down the road who's bleeding out if there is a guy down there? But
first of all, why would you be driving? Like, I mean, I understand. Like, 210 is pretty, you know, it's a pretty decent size interstate. Uh-huh. So 210 is there, but why would you not have a weapon on you? Driving through the woods at night, I mean, I've driven through, like, old logging roads in Oregon when I lived up there. And Northern California, like, these little podunks. Nah. I always had some form, like, not a wood-splitting axe. Yeah. Some form of weaponry on me. It wasn't, you know, a gun. But literally, I'm not going anywhere without something. Out in the woods.
That's what I was surprised at, too. I feel like, you know, a lot of people, especially around that area, you would think they would have like firearms, you know, with hunting being so prevalent and all that. But
like, even if you hit a deer and like, you know,
who knows, maybe he was coming from work and he was going home.
Could have been. Yeah. He could work at like, you know, someplace where you're not permitted to have firearms in your vehicle. There are places like that. So maybe he's coming home from a warehouse or whatever his warehouse job, and lo and behold, right place at the wrong time. Yeah.
But I mean, it could be anything, man. I think it's like a, maybe like a skinwalker type thing. I mean, because you had a huge native, you know, presence there.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of spiritual stuff that went on there. Who knows, man? Maybe somebody.
Well, then on top of that, you know, like was brought up, basically, he crosses the Black River, which was a preserve, and he crosses the Black River. And that obviously, bodies of water always contain that energy. So he's right there. And then shortly down the creek right there is, what is the Three Sisters or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Which is like that old growth grove of like old cypress trees. And the oldest cypress tree like east of the Mississippi, Methuselah, is located right there. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like old energy trapped in that region. So
there's a lot of crazy stuff I was looking.
That's Appalachia altogether, you know. I mean, it's, yeah.
Well, also what I was noticing when I was looking at the route that he was, you know, taking, if I remember correctly, I think the Conjuring House is like right around that area. Right off 210. Yeah, it's like right off of it. And again, you have, I mean, I don't know if it's like the filming location or if it's the actual one. I think it's the actual one. I think I could be wrong. Someone can correct me. But either way, you still have something that represents, you know, a horrific event too, with, you know, hauntings and stuff like that. Bad spirits already. So you have all that just down that road in that area.
I was gonna say, you have way too much in that area to begin with. It's, you know, as I was, you know, investigating, you know, this event, you go through, and it's just like we were talking earlier. You go through cryptid after cryptid after cryptid. You've got Bigfoot in the area. You know, you've got Wampus Cat. You've got all these different cryptids, like living and existing in pretty much, you know, Appalachia is 206,000 miles, and it goes across like 13 states. It goes all the way from Mississippi all the way up to New York. So it's all because my grandparents on my mom's side are from Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And so that's like at the cusp, because Pittsburgh is kind of like the place where it goes into like Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
And then Appalachia's all stretched out. So it's really crazy. But yeah, it's all around that region. There's
And we did the Kentucky Goblins too.
Yeah.
And the stuff for that area with all the caves and stuff around that area. It's like, hey, maybe they live in caves, and these goblins that are coming out, you know, people are saying extraterrestrial, but what if they just live in these caves and come out you know, whenever they want? That's a lot of mystery surrounding it, man. It's just a lot of crazy stuff. I have one more story for you. I got off of Reddit when I was looking for more cryptid stories. this was posted by under the subreddit cryptids by weird name, but it's a fireball in my ass. That's the name of it. But we're going away from the name because the story is actually pretty creepy. It's titled, "I Had a Terrifying Encounter in the Appalachian Mountains and I'm Looking for Answers." He goes, "Let me start out by saying I have lived in the Appalachian Mountains all my life and have experienced a lot of strange things. My family was Irish and settled in West Virginia, but I currently live in North Carolina portion of these wonderful mountains. That being said, I have learned a lot about what really lurks in these dark woods, but this was like nothing I had ever experienced before. It all began with my golden retriever, Ozzy, growling like I had never heard before. He literally never growls, so that had me already uncomfortable. But this growl was bone-chilling. It was like he was getting ready to have a fight for his life or something. I took both him and my other dog out at around 11 p.m., and he would not leave my side. I noticed that my workshop door was open, so I walked down to close it and lock it up. The entire time, he is glued to my side. Ozzy also kept trying to get in between my legs, still growling and all of his hair sticking up like a feral animal. The second I closed the door, all hell breaks loose in the woods. It sounded like 50 full-grown men had broken out into a full sprint, tearing through the woods. Trees were shaking and branches falling. In my life, I have never been that scared. We got back in the house before I shit my pants and got my pistol, Maglite, to figure out what the hell was out there. When the dog and I got back outside, we were surrounded by what sounded like people mumbling. It was everywhere. I shined the light all over the woods and couldn't see anything, but the sound was coming from all around. It sounded as if you got a full gym of people to mumble. You could almost make out words. That's why I don't think it was an animal. I almost immediately felt sick, like I was having a mix between a panic attack and the full swing of the flu. Back inside the house, it sounded like people were walking around all night. The windows were creaking, and you could clearly hear the sound of shoes on gravel. The mumbling never stopped. Every time I got up to check my house, my feet would touch the floor, and it would go dead silent. You couldn't hear birds, crickets, frogs, or anything. I was terrified and didn't sleep a wink. The air felt thick and evil all night. That's the only way I could explain this feeling. Imagine a soaking wet quilt being tossed over you. That's how I felt. And he's looking for any answers of what that was. And people gave similar answers like, hey, yeah, this has happened to me before at night. You know, I thought it was just, you know, an experience that I had. But, you know, so this is happening to a lot of people, like, if not the same situation, but similar at least in nature. People talking about how they were walking their pets, or they were just having a walk outside of their house and the woods around them like felt like
energized.
Yeah, like energized alive. Or alive, yeah. You know, with more than just animals. So there's creepy stuff in the, up in the woods, man, that I would love to go and investigate one day and hopefully don't get like abducted or something. But there's so much crazy stuff out there. You know, we talk about we talked about Hispanic heritage when we did La Lechuza, how a lot of, you know, Hispanic families have a lot of folklore. But when you go into like the Appalachians and all that, and, you know, not just the natives there, but also the people who settled there, you know, all of the witches, the stuff like that.
Spirits. And you do still have, you know, I mean,
yeah, like, and you still have. Yeah.
Like you still have all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's not a play on words. It's not a slur, but. You have hillbillies.
Yeah.
Like, there's still hillbillies out there. There's still those communities of people that, like, speak that weird dialect and that language that's kind of, like, all-inclusive of their own.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when they're, like, inbred, they're like, you know, I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. I mean, there's still people who still do stuff that, you know, like, protection spells on their houses. Like, still. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, seeing interviews of people who live still up there or have lived up there with their grandparents or parents. And we'll talk about, like, yeah, we used to, you know, my grandma used to do this protection spell before, you know, bed to keep the witches from coming in or keep the bad spirits from coming in or to keep this, you know, this creature away or keep that creature away. It was like, that's a lot of stuff, man. Like, I don't know. It's very intriguing because it's dense forest, mountains, caves. So you can have, like, it's like the ocean, dude. You can have anything there.
Yeah.
You know, anything. Oh, I don't know, man. I just...
Makes me want to go. Just.
Yeah, makes me want to go, but then when I get there, I'm like, yeah. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have done this.
Man, is there a Hojo somewhere? Yeah. Ain't no Hojo.
I need to get out of here. I need to leave. But yeah, man, there's so much stuff up there. And there was so many, like, small stories of just people... seeing like creatures, like, yeah, I was, you know, a lot of it has like people with pets, like walking their dog, and it's like, yeah, I was walking my dog at night. First of all, why? I get it, like, people do walk their dogs at night, but at that point I'm like, you know, we're just doing day, we're going in the day, that's it.
But also day, I mean in a lot of like honest and sincerity with this, you know, I have dogs. Like, I'll let my dogs out sometimes at night, and she'll go crazy. She'll go, like, lunatic running around the yard.
Yeah.
And it's like, I never know if it's, like, you know, a possum or a skunk or what it is out there. You know, something moving down the alley, maybe a stray cat.
True, yeah.
You know, and I think that definitely puts you on higher alert. You know, so a lot of times when these people are like, oh, well, my animals went crazy. You know, honestly, if you have a piece of pizza behind my house, my dog's going to go crazy because she wants the pizza. You know, it's not something that, you know, is necessarily... supernatural, but definitely, like, I have that in me to be like, oh, like, ooh, there's something, you know, out there, like, maybe there's a skinwalker behind my gate, you know, or something. But
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Well, Mothman too is huge.
Oh yeah,
West Virginia.
Point Pleasant.
Point Pleasant, man. I mean, that whole everybody's talked about Mothman, but dude, just the crazy things that have happened from the last sighting when that bridge went down. You know, that's just it's a lot of weird. To me, spiritual stuff, like very, you know, spiritual signs, stuff like that. I'm like, dude, there's got to be something in that area, you know, and who maybe with the Rockies, too. There's probably like, I mean, because we're in between both of them.
Yeah.
So
I think more, though, you get it back east because obviously like back east and like the far Midwest, because you have, you know, certain rocks actually attract certain energies.
Yeah.
And they've gone through and they've shown that, you know, like limestone, that there's limestone quarries and stuff under the ground. And the water in the limestone create this, like, energy field, like, according to, you know, like, stuff that I've read.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, like, I don't have scientific backing, you know, I don't have the documents to provide you at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've just heard a lot of stories about stuff like that being energized, like, spiritually. And so that's where you get a lot of this stuff from. That's why, like, honestly, you don't hear a lot about it in, like, you know, the Cascades in Oregon. You don't hear a lot, you know, coming out of the Cascades. A lot of other mountain ranges, you don't hear a whole lot of, but, you know, like I said, this 206,000, you know, miles of Appalachia, man, they've got more. I mean, we were just going like tit for tat with cryptids earlier, and it's like, man, like, it's like every little area. And it's not just like, you know, it's kind of like Japan in its nature with like with the yokai. It's like some are like skinwalkers. Mothman has the air. There's a two-headed turtle monster that lives in a lake called Awas.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, man, there's like just stuff after stuff. Ground dwellers, you have the Wampus Cat. Then you have like mermaids. It's like, man, they've got like the full cornucopia of every single cryptid known to man.
Oh yeah, dude. You have the Moon-Eyed People, which I think we touched on with our Kentucky Goblin episode. Yeah, the Moon-Eyed People, who the natives actually pretty much told stories about the, you know, pale skin, only come out at night, you know, because, you know, big eyes, you know, similar to aliens, like I guess you would say. Again, it's just a lot of stuff around that area. It's just like, dude, there's...
Yeah, they have like the Lake Norman monster, which is like the...
You got the Flatwood monster.
Yeah. Skunk ape down in the southern part of Appalachia.
Oh, yeah,
you have skunk ape.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, they've got every base covered.
Yeah, the Snallygaster. Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff, man, that I would love to kind of, I guess, investigate, you know, stuff like that to see what could be like the origin of these things. Because a lot of stuff could just be like, oh, I told that story so my kids wouldn't do this or my, you know, so people wouldn't do this. You know, a lot of it has to do with that because, you know, you put fear into people and they'll stop doing something. But it still lives on. I mean, there's some truth to it. There has to be some truth to some of these stories, man.
Well, what I love about the whole situation with it is that, you know, like, for instance, up in West Virginia, dude, there's Mothman festivals every year.
That's true, yeah.
There's Bigfoot festivals. There's all these. There's a cryptid festival in North Carolina every year. And the community actually, like, accepts it. They're like, man. And I don't know whether that's, you know, basically a capitalist reaction to basically... We're going to capitalize off this. You know, we don't get a lot of travel through here. And, you know, Dame and Eric are going to go and, like, come up and find cryptids.
Yeah.
You know, so they're like, yeah, we're going to make like, a
or
couple
get
t-shirts.
Mauled by a freaking mountain lion or something.
You know, like the Pope licked devil. Nobody's, like, going to that point of Kentucky. You know, so, like, Lexington is like, hey, Pope licked devil right there. Come on through, you know, goat man, you know, and we're going to sell you a t-shirt and some socks.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Frogman. We're going to do that. But
I
like the fact that, like, you know, these communities accept it because there isn't a lot, you know, there are a lot of places, like, especially around here, where if something like that happens, like, we have Hell's Gate.
Yeah, we got Hell's Gate.
Lubbock does not talk about Hell's Gate for the most part.
Yeah.
It's known, but they don't really delve into it. Even when we have, you know, like, for instance, like, our festivals and, you know, Nightmare on 19th Street. We don't touch on the fact that Hell's Gate is like, you know, literally like 2 miles from where Nightmare on 19th, which is one of our haunted attractions, that it's right there. They don't talk about that.
Yeah, nobody talks about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about the Lubbock lights that we did the episode on. I mean,
no. No, it's all like swept up, and I don't know if that's, you know, based on the fact that we do live in a very, you know, religious area.
Could be that, yeah.
And so, you know,
you don't want to bring that into
the powers that be see it all as being demonic, and so they kind of put the kibosh on that. Like, we're not going to talk about such
But it's things. Interesting stuff, man. I really do love stuff like that. I really do love the mystery behind, hey, maybe there's something that out there that we just can't explain. Like the sheriff of that first story, you know, he even said, you know, sometimes there's just stuff that we can't explain. Like, you know, what, I mean, in all honesty, too, what are they going to do? You know, go look for this lanky creature that, you know, scratched this dude's truck. I mean,
on top of that, society as a whole, I mean, can you imagine the fact that literally if the sheriff was to start a full-scale investigation, they're going to look at him like he's like just lost it. He's like loony bin. So then it's like, hey, wait a minute. I've been a cop for 25 years. I'm like 5 years from retiring. What the hell? And now I'm going to go looking for a cryptid? Yeah. And then everyone's going to be like, yeah, Sheriff Dunn lost his mind. And that's going to be it for you. Like, your career's
over. That's true, yeah. Yeah, so what can you do? Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it. Like, you basically have to sweep it under carpet because, you know, if not.
I mean, he did interview about it. He did interview it about it because, I mean, you have the call. You have the 911 call. And you have the scratches. You have the guy who doesn't want to be interviewed. You know, somebody like that, you know, if somebody was really doing it for attention, you'd be all over Instagram, you know, hey, yeah, you know, here's day, you know, 65 of me talking about, you know, the thing that happened.
What happened to my truck?
Yeah.
There's a GoFundMe set up for an auto body repair.
Yeah, but when you act so shook that, you know, because, like, it was an actual, like, traumatic event to you because of what you saw was so, like, horrific – and you don't want any attention, that's like what gives it kind of more credibility to me because it's like, dude, he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Well, that's very similar to, you know, the Kentucky Goblin.
Yeah, same thing with the Kentucky
Goblin. That whole family was like, dude, we don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
We don't want, you know, we just want it to end. We want it to be over. We don't want to keep rehashing this.
If you haven't listened to our Kentucky Goblin episode, go check it out. We talk about a crazy story, an incident that happened in Hopkinsville. It's wild stuff. But it became big, and they didn't want anybody on their property. And so people kept coming. So they're like, okay, fine. If you want to come on our property, we're going to charge you. Like, if you want to interview us, you want to bother us, you know, you're going to have to pay. Like, you know, we're going to give our time. You're going to give me your money, pretty much. But they didn't want anything to do with it. After that, they moved and they got out of there. Like, no, there's too many people trespassing, pretty much. Like, we don't want anything to do with it. I think when stuff like that happens, it's like, all right, man, there's no, you know, we don't know if it's true. But then again, what you're saying, you know, the way you're acting is telling me that it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not lying, that's for sure.
Yeah, because if you were lying, you'd want everybody in on it. You'd want everybody, you know, be like, hey, look, here's a piece of the chipped paint off the roof of my F-150. You know, $20. Yeah, something like that. But, yeah, that's one thing that always, like, to me at least, like when I'm reading these stories, it tends to ring with the, you know, with the sound of truth is that, you know, the person doesn't want to be interviewed. The person just wants to be left alone. Like Mr. T, he was hounded. They had to hound him over and over and over again and constantly reach out to him. And finally, I think, like, his will just failed and he just gave in. And he's like, okay, I'll talk to you about what happened. This is what happened. Da 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 da. Do whatever you will with it. And that's what really brought this resurgence.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you finally got him on record saying, hey, listen, yeah, I was that guy. This happened to me. XXX. Yeah, it's me on the 911 call. The sheriff's, like, you know, corroborating my story. Yeah, so,
yeah. That's crazy stuff, man. We're going to go visit the mountains one day.
Man, it's...
and never come back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're just 206,000 miles of territory. We could, like, investigate every cryptid. We'd be, like, 112 years old.
Be broke just living in the woods looking for cryptids.
Oh, look, I think I saw Ogwash, that two-headed demon turtle.
Until we become cryptids ourselves. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, man, it's stories like that just, man, they, I don't know, they just get my interest and I just want to.
They're enjoyable. They're like something new. They're a breath of fresh air.
Well, and what's cool too and what's fascinating is when you have people who are like, hey, I've had the same experience. I've had, you know, this something similar happened to me. Here's my story. And it's like, wow, dude, if you have another person saying, hey, same thing happened to me. You're like, okay, maybe you're just kind of riding on his coattails. But then when you have like 20 other people are like, yeah, man, I live you know, in North Carolina, or I live in Kentucky, or I live here, or I live here, and similar things are happening. It's like, oh, maybe it's just that region. Maybe it's just you got something there. There's something spooky going on there. It's kind of like Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah, exactly. Curse of Oak Island.
Oh, my gosh.
They found the treasure. That's over with.
So, I think they're ever going to find the treasure.
They found it.
Did they find
it? They found it.
After all these years,
they found it,
man.
Yeah. After 15 seasons on Discovery, lo and behold, they found it.
I feel like all they were doing on that show was just like digging it up. And then just repacking it. And then, oh, we're going to dig over
I think
here.
They probably found it on day number two. They're just like, dude, hey, there's the treasure. Oh, wait a minute. Like, where are we going to get the money out of this? Let's do this. Let's, like, go through and just keep doing this.
So, well, we have it for two seasons.
Yeah, until we reach, you know, retirement age. Like, the deadliest catch. There's a crab. You know, but. Yeah, and I think, you know, like, with these stories, I think they hold the imagination. They're, you know,
yeah.
They're great, and I think that's why they do touch so many people. They're like campfire tales.
Yeah.
They're where we, like, gather around and we, you know, tell the same story, and we might have similar experiences, and so we come out with those. And,
yeah,
you know, it brings us together more like a community as opposed to, you know, like something where it's, you know, guy in a boiler got burned up and he's wearing a red and green sweater, you know.
That's true,
which,
yeah.
Which isn't bad, I mean, obviously, but these have more of a, you know, a root and truth and,
yeah.
And a common unity to the stories. And I think that's why these always, like, they've always intrigued me. They've always drawn me in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, next thing we got to do is a possession, because those two, like, when you have people who are not just priests or, you know, the church, when it's, like, actual, like, police officers seeing stuff, and it's like, yeah, dude, that's something happened there. Or
it's
something.
Like the true crime ones. Like, the ones that always get me are, like, the true crime ones that are, like, terrifying. Like, The Last House on the Left.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, The Last House on the Left basically took place in not too far from where I was raised in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So early on in my life, I actually worked with a woman who was older, and it was one of her friends that actually had that situation happen. So she was kind of the basis of the story. Her friend was the basis of the story of The Last House on the Left. You know, and, like, a guy I worked with once again when I was a lot younger, he lived in a part of Southern California where the Manson family was pretty dominant. And one of the defunct members of the Manson family lived underneath its porch.
What?
So it's like, yeah, so it's really weird, but yeah, you meet these people, like I said, it's like campfire tales, and they're just like, hey, you've read, you know, you watched this goofy Helter Skelter movie, but hey, like, real story, like, one of the Manson family lived under my freaking porch.
Dude, that's crazy.
And it's like, yeah, you know, but it's out there. And I'm sure that's very much how it is in Appalachia.
Yeah.
Like, you start talking about, you know, Aguas. And then you're like, oh, yeah, well, he ate a 15-year-old kid. Well, shoot, I remember when I was swimming one day, like, I felt something nibbling on my toe. And then, like, literally, like, I lost my pinky toe. And you don't know if it was just a normal snapping turtle, yeah, or if it was a two-headed Aguas. You know, so...
Ah, oh, man, yeah.
That's the cool part about these stories. Crazy, like, they just delve, and you can build on them so much, and it strikes a nerve. It really, like, it spins the imagination, so.
Oh, dude, yeah. That's what I love about it, man. That's why I like stuff like that. Oh, yeah, Appalachia, man. We got to go visit it. We'll pick a state that's connected to it. And
we'll pick one of their, like, you know, like, one of their festivals, like the Mothman Festival or something.
Dude, Mothman Festival would be amazing to go to.
They even have, like, you know, the Goatman Festival, you know, up in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, we'll go to one of those, man.
Yeah, Publick. Got to go to Publick, man. Got to go to Kentucky.
Yeah, got to go spread this podcast, guys, so we can start going to these festivals, do a little more. We're digging.
Yeah, and if you guys got stories, I mean, geez.
Oh, yeah,
like,
please
throw them out
there. Yeah.
Like, if you've got something, if you're from this neck of the woods and you've got some stories about the strange
literally,
stuff.
Neck of the literally. Woods.
Yeah, if you're, you know, if you're down, you know, down here in, you know, Amarillo, any of these little towns, you know, shallow water, and you got a ghost story, throw it out there, man. You know, like, you know, give us a story. You know, we might reach out to you and, you know.
Throw you some love on another freaking cryptid or ghost, you know, whatever.
Absolutely,
episode to tell your story. But yeah, guys, thank y'all so much for listening. That was our little episode on Appalachian cryptids. Two little stories that caught my attention.
Yeah, I'm sure there are thousands, but yeah, there's
so many encounters, and a lot of them are similar. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of them are similar, so it's kind of hard to choose which ones, you know, because some of them aren't even long either. It's just like, hey, the same thing happened to me. Here's what happened, and it's like similar stuff, and it's like crazy. Yeah. That's why it's so crazy.
Yeah.
And it takes one to be true, man.
Because everyone's got a tale. Everyone's got a tale, especially when you live out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, man. But thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Maybe give you a little bit of goosebumps, hopefully. Maybe just a little bit. A little tingle here or there.
Yep.
But, yeah, guys, and if y'all ever want us to do anything else, or maybe you got a cryptid that, you know, hey, do a little more on this or that, let us know. Follow us on Instagram and shoot us a line, man, and we'll take it into consideration. We're here for y'all. But thank y'all so much for listening. We will see y'all
next week.